We are back with another edition of the Federalist Radio Hour. I'm Matt Kittle, senior elections correspondent at the Federalist, and your experienced Sherpa on today's quest for knowledge. As always, you can email the show at radio@thefederalist.com. Follow us on X. Make sure to subscribe wherever you download your podcast, and of course, to the premium version of our website as well. I'm joined today and honored to be joined today by Brian Schimming, chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, also known as Lord of the Cheeseheads. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Is that what they call me? I get all these other names. I guess that's as good or bad as whatever I've heard, you know.
Well,
I've heard other things, but that's just family members, you know.
Yes. In your line of work, you're used to some choice names, that's for sure. How are you doing? It's amazing to think that we are this far along in the summer, this far along in the presidential political process, and just literally less than a month and a half away from the big party in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, we were just talking about that once we had gotten past our spring election, which is in the first Tuesday in April, as you know, where we had some great victories around the state. You know, once we got past that, we were all kind of like, you could feel the gravitational pull of the convention already, because we have, you know, we have 50,000 people coming to Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee is not a big city. It's about a little over 600,000. The metro is about 1.8 million. And so we have 50,000 people coming, including about 15,000 media people from every country in the world. Milwaukee and Wisconsin will be the spotlight, the first ever national convention to be physically held in Milwaukee. The Democrats had planned on having their convention there 4 years ago, and they COVID ruled themselves out of having an actual convention. And so really, this is the first big show in Milwaukee, might be the last one for a long time. So it's historic here in Wisconsin, no doubt about it. And we all feel that pull of what's going to happen politically, logistically, all manner of things.
Indeed. We're going to go into that in just a moment. But it is historical. As you said, the Democrats had a go at it. At least they wanted to have a go at it in 2020 when they were anointing Joe Biden at that time. Of course, he shows up along with three or four people and the Uber driver in the back. They're all masked and, you know, shaking in their boots at that time. So it wasn't really, it was a virtual convention. This will not be a virtual convention.
Oh.
I guess the question I think that is most pressing on everybody's mind right now, how do you hold a presidential convention in a swing state, Wisconsin? Obviously, that's a big reason why it is being held there. How do you hold a presidential convention when your nominee is facing prison time from a kangaroo court in Manhattan at this point?
Yeah, hopefully those kangaroos all stay there, because really for us here, and what's interesting, Matt, as you know, that we're facing a situation where his sentencing is, you know, there will be an appeal, of course. There'll be an appeal all the way up if that's what it takes. I don't have a lot of confidence in New York courts, but presuming it goes into the federal appeal system and perhaps all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Mike Wadley, the national chairman, who's a friend, was in Wisconsin this week. And he said, look, we're going to plan for any eventuality. We're planning on the president being there for the Republican National Convention, which, again, of course, is basically starts Monday, July 15th and goes for that week. We're planning on be there. We think that he will be there. We will plan for any eventuality. But I know there's been some rattle around, oh, gee, maybe we should hold the convention earlier, you know, try to get around the sentencing. And I don't get any sense that there's a lot of thirst for that. First of all, as a practical issue, it would cost $100 million. I mean, it would be, you know, you're talking about 65,000 plane flights. hundreds of thousands of hotel nights. I mean, the list goes on and on. So there's just a practical issue there, right? But the truth of the matter is, let's just play that out, Matt. Let's say that we said, you know what, we're going to try to get ahead of this sentencing. You know what, with one keystroke, this liberal judge in New York could change the sentencing date. We could go drop $50 million trying to change everything, and it could be changed. So I don't, instead of playing that game, we'll deal with it as it is. We're going to have a good convention here. The money's being raised. The arrangements are being set up. I just had a call from two calls from a couple other states today where we might partner with them on events here. Everything is, we're charging ahead. And if things change or the judge somehow tries to sentence Donald Trump to so he could not be at the convention, we'll deal with that then. And frankly, that I don't think would be a good look for the Democrats right now, is trying to jail a political opponent essentially 100 hours from when he's going to be nominated.
That is the Democratic Party right now. Let's face it.
It sure is.
The Democratic Party in the United States is full bore leftist Marxist. And this is the result of that. We were talking about this recently on the radio airwaves where Ronald Reagan got his start, WHO out of Des Moines. Right. You were talking about if you ever thought you might be in a banana republic. You certainly woke up to one recently after that verdict in Manhattan.
I had a press conference up at the Capitol here in Madison about an hour and a half after the verdict. And I said to the assembled press, they were all there, all the stations, everybody was there. And I said, look, the banana republics are the banana republics are jealous of New York right now. Because New York has turned this into a much larger banana republic, that state and this whole way that they have treated Donald Trump. I said to someone the other day, actually a liberal relative, I said to someone the other day, you better be worried as a citizen in this country when federal agencies and the judiciary are weaponized against political opponents. I said that truly is, but it's worse than banana republic. That truly, truly is something that folks, you don't have to be a civil libertarian, self-styled liberal, civil libertarian, to believe that that's a problem. Well, Donald Trump is going, for regardless of what some people might think about Donald Trump, that is not a place you want to be in this country. So I'm quite certain it'll go up on appeal. The appeal will probably be all the way into the federal appellate system and maybe all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Time will tell. On that. But you're right. I mean, this isn't, in fact, I was telling the same person, this isn't your old Democratic Party's, Harry Truman, even John F. Kennedy, Democratic Party. This has been taken over by radicals whose public face of the party, are the AOCs and Rashida Tlaibs and all these crazies that run that party now. The Democratic Party has officially crossed the bridge. And they have crazy people running it. I'm not so sure if we had a situation today like we had before, where you had Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, that Bernie Sanders wouldn't end up going to the Democratic convention and getting nominated. The Hillary people, there were enough of those folks before where they could stop it. I don't know that they could stop it now because the Democratic Party has gone crazy. Now, Matt, where I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative from Madison, Wisconsin, which when I speak at events across the country or in national media, nobody can ever believe there's a Republican from Madison, Wisconsin. But I literally grew up right next to the University of Wisconsin campus. I was a little guy at the end of the anti-war years when Sterling Hall was bombed on the University of Wisconsin campus. It literally shook our house. We were that close. So I am used to all these radicals, and I've dealt with a lot of these people, and the sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters of those 60s radicals are now that blew up that building at the University of Wisconsin campus. They're now trying to blow up the country. they're now seriously trying to blow up all the norms, all the things that we treasure as Americans. And this election in 2024, I think, is pivotal. I mean, like we always say, right, that this is the most important election ever. And, you know, we're at a crossroads and all those sorts of things. And that is certainly true here. But I think it's bigger. It's not just one issue. You know, sometimes you'll have Obamacare or the border or some issue that kind of is a highlight of an election. And I think it's the whole deal. The irony of which, for Democrat folks that I know who thought they were moderates and thought they'd get away with voting for Joe Biden 4 years ago because, oh, he's not as bad as some of these crazies. Joe Biden has been the president that Bernie Sanders wished he could have been. Joe Biden gave them what they want.
Brian Schimming, who is the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and the guy responsible for the biggest party this state has seen in a very long time, excluding Badger's Rose Bowl. But nonetheless, this is going to be a big party. I want to stick with that point, Brian. You just mentioned it. And what you experienced as a kid in the 1970s around Sterling Hall, UW-Madison, the anti-war years that went on. Madison has always been known as a bastion for, let's be generous of spirit here, of left-wing thought. Others would say of the lunatic asylum, but I'm not casting aspersions there.
Well, no, Brian, of course.
But I guess that's the question, is what you saw, what Wisconsin saw, what the nation saw during the anti-Vietnam War years of the 70s. This is a whole new generation of extremists. How worried are you that the convention in Milwaukee, starting on July 15th, going through that week, will have to deal with some excesses, if you will?
I'm very concerned about it. In fact, it has come up recently, just today. The ACLU filed suit against, I believe, the city and county of Milwaukee about some of the restrictions that are in place for protests in Milwaukee at that time. Downtown Milwaukee has the river going through it, but also is kind of a grid system of streets there and highways. And I will tell you that, and I've had an office on and off in Milwaukee for a very long time. Worked for three previous Republican governors. I've been in Milwaukee thousands of times. I will tell you that, so there's been this issue about a public park that is relatively close to the convention site. And while that's certainly an issue because of its proximity to the convention site, I think the bigger issue in any convention city would have had to deal with this. Let's be honest, Matt, they are going to have thousands of paid protesters on the streets, paid professional organizers on the streets of the city of Milwaukee, trying to close down streets, hotels that delegations are staying in, venues that we're having events at around Milwaukee. There has been there's been obviously a very considerable law enforcement planning operation between the Secret Service, city, county, village, you know, dozens of municipalities. So a national convention is always one of the biggest security organizing events of whatever year it's being held because you have tens of thousands of people together. Well, the tens of, and who knows, maybe Chicago will be crazy too when the Democrats are down in Chicago, but ours probably will be crazier because of the type of people. I mean, you generally don't get people out of the Young Republicans and some of our groups doing what the crazy lefties on campus or, some of the radical leftist groups we have to deal with are willing to do. So I think there is a very high concern amongst our people. I think the city and county folks in Milwaukee, we've had a very good partnership with them, even though our party affiliations are not the same. But, they don't want a mess down there. But I think there's reason for caution there. And so I'm not telling anyone to stay away. I'm not telling anyone to be afraid of coming to Milwaukee. But the truth of the matter is they're happy to do anything to disrupt not only the Republican convention, but to disrupt the possibility of Donald Trump becoming president. We saw it in the legal arena in New York recently. We will probably see it in the streets of Milwaukee.
This is Pastor Matthew Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS operates the second largest parochial school system in the United States. What can you expect from a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school? There's one race, the human race. And Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child from every land and every nation. Life begins at conception. All life is precious from womb to tomb. And every student, parent, and teacher is created in the very image of God. There's right and wrong, and we know which is which from the Ten Commandments. There are only two sexes, male and female, He created them. Marriage is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. There's such a thing as objective, absolute truth, and it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ and His Word. To find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school near you, visit lcms.org/schools.
It's just, it's an entirely different level than it was. I remember covering the 2016 convention in Philadelphia for the Democrats.
Right.
Apparently, my news organization didn't like me very much at that time.
I drew the short straw.
Now, you were in Cleveland that year, I would imagine, for the RNC, which was, I think, a lot more peaceful, better run. But you remember in 16, we had the Podesta emails. We had the poor congresswoman from Florida who was run out of Philadelphia on a rail, of course, because the Bernie Sanders acolytes were just, you know, and we had a lot of tension there, no doubt about it. We had, actually, we had what was billed as a fart-in, if you remember, and this is, Google this now, this is true. The Bernie Sanders people were so mad about the rigging. The fix was in, of course, as the Podesta email showed us, for Hillary Clinton. The DNC was all in for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And what those, the folks who backed Bernie Sanders literally did a Saul Alinsky. They were around their kettles of beans. They were going to do a collective massive gassing, if you will, of that Philadelphia arena. That was gross. But it's nothing in comparison to what could happen, of course, when you get what we've seen on college campuses over the last semester at UW-Madison, at Columbia, at UCLA, wherever. I know that you have been working very closely with the Secret Service. They can only say so much, obviously, about security and planning. Right. How confident are you with Secret Service running this show security-wise?
Well, I don't have a day-to-day role with Secret Service. I will tell you, obviously, the RNC and the so there's two committees, essentially the MKE, which is shorthand for Milwaukee in airline terms, that deals with security, various units of government, law enforcement. Have been working hand in glove with them, as you know, and it's been public that there's been some dissatisfaction with the head of the Secret Service with respect to getting some of the properties that are a little bit closer to the convention site offline for some of the protest groups. And this is not a matter of saying, I mean, there's going to be plenty of places to have protests. But, you know, I just say to local officials I know in Milwaukee, to other people, look, If you went through everything you went to bid for this convention to have 50, 60,000 people in town and don't put the proper security into place and you have problems, you will never have a big convention here again. So it's not even a partisan thing. It's just you want a safe, secure environment where protesters can have their moment. And if they want to have their fart in, you know, down at the Democrat convention, which might be an improvement, actually, which, okay, I didn't say that, or whatever, who says liberals don't watch Blazing Saddles? If they want to have those kinds of protests, look, when I was on the radio, I was covering for our acquaintance, Mark Belling, when the Democrats announced they were going to be in Milwaukee. And I said, this is before I was party chair. But I said, look, it's great. It's going to bring all sorts of business. Like this convention this year, it'll be a $200 million spend, tens of thousands of hotel rooms, hundreds of thousands. I mean, it's great, right? It's terrific for the region and for the city who've never had a project of this size. But, you know, do I have a concern level? Sure, because they will ship in as many people as they can. We are also perilously close to Chicago and to very Democrat Illinois. And so I'm quite sure we'll have a lot of tourism from Chicago and from Illinois Democrats coming up from there. So it's going to be interesting in Milwaukee. I'd like to say that I have no worries about any of it. I think overall it's going to be fine. But the left, to your point, this isn't, I mean, I hope we don't have a situation that the Democrats had in 1968 in Chicago. I hope it doesn't end up there. I know people are working very hard to make sure it doesn't end up there. But to your point, the left is crazy these days. So when I was doing that radio show, when they announced the Democrats convention, I'll say, look, I'll show you what a nice guy I am. I will personally pay for AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, to come to Milwaukee so we can show the difference between her and between us. And so if she wants to come in to bracket the event and to wave her flag during the Republican convention, I'm just fine. I'll buy her dinner.
Brian Schimming, chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, joining us on this edition of the Federalist Radio Hour. To your point, and I do remember that in 2020 when the announcement came down, it is. It's a very lucrative, can be extremely profitable for the host community, and it has a good many benefits. But I thought in 2020, when they announced this, of course, COVID going on at the time, and who knows what was going to happen. But we also, what was going on at the time, massive Black Lives Matter protest. You remember what that Marxist movement did to the city of Kenosha, for God's sake, what it did to Chicago, you know. And so we've seen this movie before, but to the point on the Chicago, you know, Democrats in Chicago, I think it very well could be a 1968 style situation for them. You already have a mayor who clearly hates the police. He's got to work with them to try to bring in security. They already have, you know, if the Democrats make Chicago secure during that week, the rest of Chicago, for the rest of the year, they're going to look at them and say, what about us? What about the rest of the year? Now, right, with all of that, what I don't understand is the complaint about the protesters having enough space, the ACLU complaining that they're not close enough. As I understand it, Brian, in Chicago, they're 3 miles away from the event site. With you folks, it's like less than a mile, have that correct.
Series of blocks. Yeah, it's not far at all. And part of the issue is the immediate proximity to the Fiserv Forum, which is where the Bucks play and where we're having the convention. And part of it, too, is you'll have thousands of people who are staying at hotels throughout the Milwaukee area. I mean, Milwaukee is a wonderful city, but we don't have a lot of real large hotels in downtown Milwaukee. So we have people, you know, over dozens of locations around the city of Milwaukee. Well, a lot of them will be walking or busing or driving past that park, the one park in question, to get to the Fiserv Forum. So I just hope that common sense prevails here. I think it will, but I hope common sense prevails with the Secret Service, with the city, and with the county to make absolutely sure that visitors to Milwaukee are in a safe environment. But I mean, Milwaukee, you know, made a very assertive and frankly a very good bid for this convention. They won it for a reason. Of course, there was a lot of interest in having it here in Milwaukee because Wisconsin, as you point out, important swing state, one of seven. And so it doesn't help Milwaukee or the city of Milwaukee or the county of Milwaukee or the visitors bureau for the city of Milwaukee to have a disaster here in Milwaukee, because those are images that people, partisanship aside, those are images that people will not forget. So when I talk to folks who are involved on the security side of this and on the governmental side of this, I just say, look, Milwaukee and Wisconsin cannot afford to have that disaster. And if it means, to your point, like Chicago, that people ought to be a little farther away, still plenty of opportunity to protest. They'll get their coverage anyway. But let's face it, it's a game. They want to be as close to the Pfizer Center, the convention site, to try to disrupt the travel and the event itself. And law enforcement folks, plain and simple, shouldn't allow it.
Indeed. Well, let's shift here. Let's focus on what it takes to put on a convention, because I know you've been dealing with this, planning for this for a long time now. But here we are within, you know, a month plus of the big day.
Yeah, it's close.
What's it take to put on the largest quadrennial party that your party puts together, and give us a sense of what each of the days will be like?
Yeah, I'm on the committee of arrangements for the convention as the home state chairman. And it's interesting because, again, we have two committees who have done fantastic work, the RNC Convention Committee itself, and then the official committee for the city, the MKE committee. But it's literally thousands of logistical details. In a sense, conventions are very similar that way. It's security, it's hotels. It's hundreds of vendors for everything from posters to, lanyards to, whatever elephants to, whatever you can name. It's a staggering logistical enterprise. It truly, truly is, if you're going to pull off a successful convention. And let's just be honest about it here. A convention is a 5-day show. It's a 5-day show. And you want the show to go as well as it can go during those 5 days. And those days, basically, Matt, for folks who haven't been through it before or not, on the planning side, most folks will come into Milwaukee on Sunday. And so there'll be some inaugural activities on Sunday. But each state, there's actually 56 states and territories. So the territories also have delegations to the convention. Each state and territory every morning, whatever hotels or wherever they're staying, will have their delegation meeting in the morning, usually between 8 and 9 o'clock. Basically, a couple things happen. Those delegation meetings, they brief them on what the day is going to look like. Secondly, there's oftentimes a speaker who will come in, a member of Congress, somebody out of the Senate, maybe future or past candidates. If they're desperate, me, will come in to try to jack up the delegations and remind everyone what we're all there to do. And then they hand out different sets of credentials every day. You actually get a different set of credentials, as I recall, every single day you're there. And that's a security thing to make sure, different credentials are flying around. So get a different set of credentials every day at that meeting. So that morning meeting is an important thing. Most of the activity in terms of the actual convention activity is at night, usually starting at 6 or 7 o'clock. There might be a day or two that where it starts a little bit earlier, but most of the action you'll see is either at least late in the afternoon or 6 or 7 o'clock when you have speakers. Monday and Tuesday night, there'll be actually the week before, Matt, as you know, the Republican National Committee, of which I'm a member, will be meeting in Milwaukee. So the week before the convention, we'll be in committee meetings and other prepping for the convention and handling other RNC business. But that next week, when the convention is starting on Monday the 15th, will be pretty much delegation meetings in the morning, other scheduled events. Of course, a lot of states and the territories, either on their own or come together, have delegation events, parties, or whatever. You better love caffeine, because a lot of times, a lot of the events that are being sponsored aren't until after the convention activity at night. Yeah. So let's say you're off the convention floor at 9 or 10. Oftentimes, your state's activity, their party for the day, or maybe a joint event that they're doing is after that. So there's going to be a lot of late night frolicking in Milwaukee. I had someone telling me yesterday, you'll never get to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning. So it'll be like college.
And by the way, Brian, any of the joint events that you want, you'll have to drive a bit to the south where the Democrats are holding theirs. The weed is still illegal in Wisconsin, folks, just to let you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're into mind-altering substances that can't be consumed from a glass, not off a glass, but from a glass, you'll have to go south of the border, so to speak. And then in the afternoon, there are some folks setting up seminars. We'll have a convention, kind of a trade show area that's kind of going to be in an L around the convention hall in the street. In the streets, Kilburn, and out in front of the convention hall where you can buy all manner of things. So a lot of the vendors, there are hundreds of vendors involved, Matt, from the Milwaukee area. So, we're hoping that they do well. So really your daily convention schedule, and I'm generalizing, of course, will be delegation meeting at your hotel in the morning. And then a day of, the mornings usually aren't too busy, but the afternoons pick up because other events are going on. We have essentially the whole Summerfest Park, which is on the south side of the city, not far from the middle of the city, probably, a mile and a half or a mile from the convention hall.
That's close,
Yeah, it's pretty close. We'll be having everything you'll be able to do as a delegate or alternate or guest will be bus. We have convention buses that will essentially take you everywhere that you need to go during the day. So all that logistical planning for doing what you do during the day, required or otherwise, but most of the hard work of freedom, so to speak, will be on the convention floor starting at, late afternoon or 6 or 7 at night. That's kind of when the show is, so to speak. But all the media will, about 15,000 media in from all across the world. And, they'll be covering everything, everything from individual delegates, alternates, guest stories, things about the city of Milwaukee. They're looking for stories. They're looking for something to talk about. And there'll be 15,000 media outlets trying to do that. So people are going to know Republicans in the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin a whole lot better by the end of that week. Wednesday night. So it starts Monday night. Wednesday night will be the vice presidential nomination. Thursday night will be the presidential nomination. And then we'll wrap up after that. And so Friday will be recovery.
The Democrats are counting on your economic ignorance so they can get reelected. The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet. The left wants you to think that oil companies and grocery stores are ripping Americans off. Meanwhile, they just want to get back into office to keep printing trillions of more dollars. Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Indeed. And of course, the vast majority of the news outlets there will be covering it from a certain perspective, as we know, but they're welcome to attend. They always are. And they will be present, very present, of course. Is there any truth to the rumor that you will be warming up the crowd with your Cirque du Soleil fabulous acrobatic show that you have done for years?
Well, Matt, I don't want to brag here, but so I won't. I do want to, as I think I mentioned to you, it's actually from a timing perspective, my birthday is the 16th,
yes.
The Tuesday of that week. And so I have to keep some self-respect about being the state chairman of the whole state, of course.
Indeed.
But I'm encouraging others to embarrass themselves on my behalf.
I just have four words for you in the Cirque du Soleil. It's breathtaking. It really is. And I just say this, Brian Schimming in tights. That's where the action is.
I'll tell you what, if I'm in tights by the end of the week, I'll be in a body bag. So
let's keep a good thought. I want to shift just a little bit. And obviously you are spending long hours already every day, and they're going to get incredibly that much longer come the week before and the week of the convention. And then, of course, there's the postmortem stuff that you do afterward. But let's take a look ahead to November. How confident, as we mentioned before, it's very well known, Wisconsin, in the terminology of a former president, is one of the deciders, or at least it has been over the last few election cycles in this country. How confident are you in the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the regulator that's had some problems for sure in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to following election laws and election integrity? How confident are you in the Wisconsin Elections Commission? How confident are you that this election will not have the same kind of irregularities, certainly, and ultimately, as a state audit showed, the kind of election law breaking that we saw in 2020?
Yeah, great question, Ron Johnson. And I talk about this a lot. I was on the road this weekend in Wisconsin. I was in Eau Claire, actually addressing this specifically on Saturday, and then down in Elkhorn in Walworth County on Sunday. And what I say to people is, look, you know, we've had our issues with the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which in many states, the administration of elections is centralized under the Secretary of State. That is not the case here in Wisconsin. It's done by the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which is a separate commission made up of six people, three Democrats and three Republicans, with alternating partisan chairs. We are often not happy with all of their decisions. We have an okay relationship with them, even with the strong disagreements we've had. I will say this, though, and this is what I said when I was on the road this weekend. Look, we recruited 5,500 poll workers here in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, by state law, you have to recruit poll workers for elections like we have this year, the year before. So we recruited 5,500 poll workers. That is to say, the people who help the local clerks, literally work for the local clerks as partisans, and the Democrats nominate them too. We nominated 5,500, a new record. And then we'll have poll watchers as well. I always say to people, there's always concerns about local election administration, but also the supervision of it, to the extent there is supervision on the statewide level. We can't take any chances. I'm done with that. And as you know, I was on the Trump recount team here in Wisconsin. I was part of Dave Prosser's recount team, former Supreme Court Justice Prosser's recount team when he got reelected. And my attitude coming into this is election integrity is a number one issue for this. Mike Whatley, the new national chair, was in this week. He and I talk about this all the time. And the truth of the matter is I can't rely on local or state election officials to make sure the vote is handled correctly. Not because I distrust local election officials. I know a lot of them. I have good relationships. But the signal I've been sending to those folks is, look, state law, within reason, is pretty clear on how to run local elections. We want to be helpful in that regard because it doesn't benefit anyone to have elections not being run by the book. But in cases where it's not being run by the book, we are A, going to call them on it to get it corrected as fast as possible, or B, we'll go to court. And we have gone to court. We went to court in 2022 in Green Bay, where they tried to force our poll workers out of the hallways where they had the election machines, where they couldn't observe what was going on. We were in court, got a order from a county court in Brown County, which is where Green Bay is, that forced the clerk to allow our people back in. We had situations here in our April election in Stevens Point where the local Democrat clerk tried to run background checks on our legally submitted poll workers. So we called them on that. Also over in Green Bay again, the Green Bay, they were having three third party groups were having essentially what I think is a vote buying event in a park where they're giving free stuff away to folks who were saying they were voting. We got on the DA by 9 o'clock in the morning on that. He sent them a letter within an hour and a half, shut the event down, and they still had to pay their $25,000 for the event. I mean, those are kind of anecdotal things. But what I'm telling you, Matt, is that with a Democrat governor and the ability to pass the elections laws we wish we could have, and if you and I sat down over a couple of beers and a bar napkin, we could write elections law the way it ought to be. But I have to deal with it the way it is, and that means constant vigilance on Republicans' part. And if that means working with the local clerks with poll workers, it'll be that. If that means going into court with attorneys, it'll be that. We will, for the first time, recruit hundreds of lawyers in Wisconsin this year. Part of the problem on the Wisconsin side, Matt, as you know, is that we don't have other state chairs ask me about this all the time. In Wisconsin, we don't have partisan voter registration. In Wisconsin, you don't register as a Democrat or as a Republican.
Right.
So it means lots of money for voter ID, for turnout, for all those types of things. So Wisconsin's probably, to be candid, one of the toughest states in the country on election integrity. I have three full-timers on the staff here on the election integrity effort. We're on the phone every single day around Zooms with the Trump campaign, with the RNC. So whatever we have to do on our end at the Republican Party of Wisconsin, in partnership with other groups or with the RNC, we're going to do it. And I don't see that as an option or as a, boy, I hope we can do it. We have to do it.
Brian Schimming, who is the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and very much integrally involved in the big party in Wisconsin coming up in just a few weeks. It is really right around the corner. Final question for you, sir. I appreciate the generosity of your time joining us on the Federalist Radio Hour today. You mentioned it. Wisconsin's a different animal. Having grown up in the Badger State, it's all second nature to me, but you're going to be bringing in tens of thousands of people from across the country and the world. And some of them, unfortunately, have not experienced Wisconsin yet. And I don't know why they haven't. That's on them, but they will for the first time.
World, I'll say that.
Yes. So what advice would you give the visitors coming to the Badger State for the first time?
It's advice I give to anyone is a lifetime suggestion. Eat cheese curds before you die. Unfortunately, yes. Eating cheese curds might help cause the lack.
That's right. But that's a good point. Where are the best cheese curds? That's the question.
I'm going to do a list of those. Actually, I've had folks from other states ask me to do kind of a short list of things to go see and to go eat in Milwaukee. And look at me for crying out loud, having had a lot of experience eating out in Milwaukee.
You and I have had a cheese curd or two in our time. That's it.
We have. Exactly. One of these days I'm going to have this kid that I've been carrying for about 14 years. Wisconsin, as Lee Dreyfus used to say, it's a 23rd sound place. It's a wonderful, wonderful state. And Southwest Wisconsin, about 70% of the population, as you know, Matt, is in what we call the Golden Triangle between Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Madison. So there are going to be a lot of things to do. People will learn a lot about Wisconsin. I was saying to somebody at a meeting the other day, the practical side of this is that a lot of people will come back to Wisconsin because of this convention, whether it's for the cheese curds or for that liquid we brew in large vats in various breweries around Milwaukee, and around the state, for whatever that might be. People are going to learn a lot about Wisconsin. This is an opportunity, as I say, not just a political show, but a tourism show for the state of Wisconsin. Look, I'm a homer, so I'm biased, right? But I'm so excited to be state chairman when this national, really international event is going to happen. I think I mentioned to you, I was down at the recommendation, actually, of a Democrat friend of mine to go down to the Iowa caucuses and straw poll events, which I've done a couple of times. And I learned, as much as I've been around this business, I learned so much about politics, just even in the couple of days I was down in Iowa. This is a similar experience. When I talk to people that I've appointed to be delegates or alternates or on our guest list, everyone's going to learn as being, from being part of this show. And I think at the end of all of this, we're going to find out what the Republic is about. Not the Republican Party, but the Republic, and how we save the Republic between now and November, because I think in the end, that's the bottom line. The freedoms that we enjoy and sometimes take for granted, right, are all on the line on November 5th, and everything that we do between now and then. I said to the group in Eau Claire the other day, I said, I don't need a poll to say this. The victory is out there. The win is out there. We just have to go get it. And that's the job for us between now and November 5th, is to get the victory, get the win that I know that people want, and save America.
I couldn't agree with you more, Brian, when it comes to this election. And we always talk about it. You mentioned it before. We always say every 4 years, the most important election ever. And I think the folks in 1860 might have a disagreement with that, you know, or the folks in the Great Depression, the World War, they might have a different opinion of this. But this really is a bottom line election about the existence, the continuation of the Republic that we hold so dear. And I think that is extremely, I think what you just said is extremely prescient. We'll see what happens, of course, in the coming weeks. And don't forget, when it comes to Wisconsin, if it's good enough for Fonzie, it's good enough for me.
The Fonzie statue still up in downtown Milwaukee, and I guarantee you that convention week, thousands of people will be over there taking pictures with it.
Indeed. Thank you, Brian Schimming, for joining me on this edition of the Federalist Radio Hour. Brian Schimming, of course, is the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. In a matter of just a few weeks, the city of Milwaukee will be hosting the Republican Party's biggest party in the last 4 years, and tens of thousands of people will descend on it. We will be there covering that with my Federalist colleagues as well. I will be there in person covering it, too. Thanks again for your time. I do appreciate it, Brian.
Can't wait for you to be here. I'll buy the first beer.
And cheese curds. Don't forget that. We could.
Absolutely.
Look, we're wasting away. We could use some more cheese curds, you and I.
I am looking a little peaked. So
you've been listening to another edition of the Federalist Radio Hour. I'm Matt Kittle, senior correspondent at the Federalist. We'll be back soon with more. Until then, stay lovers of freedom and anxious for the fray.
A reason, and then it faded away.